Welcome to the Happy Workaholic Podcast. I'm your host, Kellyanne Gorman. Over the past 20 years, I've worked in beauty, luxury, corporate, and service-driven industries. I created the opportunity in these careers and in my own businesses that allowed me to travel the world, experience once-in-a-lifetime events, and build brands while providing my expertise to clients all around the globe. Life is short, and when you're given a second chance, you better believe I'm going to take it, celebrate it, and share it with you. This show is intended to elevate your mind, upgrade your business, enhance your life, and become part of a positive and uplifting community. If you are ready to take your business and life to that next level you deserve to be at, this is the show for you. Inspiration, motivation, and determination are what got me to where I am today. Tune in every week to hear from myself, other entrepreneurs, professional patients, small business owners, and fellow podcasters who will be featured on the show. I'm here to remind you to work hard, share your story, follow your dreams, and never, ever give up. Thanks for taking the time to subscribe to the Happy Workaholic Podcast. Today's episode starts now. Hello, hello, and happy Sunday. I'm here to record an episode that I've been wanting to record for you for about 6 months now. And there's so many reasons why I couldn't. One of them was legally I couldn't. Another one was every time I tried, I would get vertigo or have a panic attack or have just like overwhelming anxiety. So I literally have 4 pages of notes in front of me because I wanted to state facts and try not to be as emotional as I usually am when I talk about this, but it is my life and I already feel it coming, so I'm going to try my best. Now, I've been sharing episodes over the last month about my book, diving deeper into each chapter, and chapter 7 for this episode is titled for my new book, Everything is Messy, is that you deserve the best. And so at the end of the day, I mean, you really do. And that's going to tie in with this story, but it's time that I talk about my legal case because a lot of people are assuming things that are wrong, and I'm here to state facts of every single detail that I went through from getting misdiagnosed to the names of the doctors, the names of drugs, and where I was hospitalized. You're getting all of this information right now. The purpose of me sharing this is because I was so alone for so many years. You can have a great support system, but at the end of the day, I know what you feel like, and it's awful. I was just asked the other day if I was ever suicidal, and absolutely I was. When you're going through something like this and you're put on heavy medications, you don't have any more control of like your own thoughts. That's basically the only way that I can explain it. When you're stuck in bed and just knowing you're going to die from a drug, like, wouldn't you rather just go out in your sleep? Like, that's what I would think about all the time. No one's ever asked me that, although I've subtly made nudges about it. And I definitely wrote about it in my book, but never used the word suicidal. This letter I'm going to share with you is, I'm going to share it at the end of the show, but it's the final letter that I wrote to the neurologist that misdiagnosed me. And I'm going to share with you the exact process that I went through. I have a lot of episodes on this show that share being misdiagnosed and the journey and the legal aspect of it. And I was so angry and I was so emotional and I still am, but I'm grateful that I'm alive. I mean, I've been asked on so many other podcasts I've been interviewed on, you know, how I'm like living my life now. And I'm like, the fact that I get to wake up every morning, that's a win. And then I get to help others, whether it's in their business or life, that's a win. So I'm like already emotional. I've just never shared any of this before. And I finally can, because I can. Can this get taken down? Maybe. But I'm stating facts, and they're facts that you can find that are also sitting in 6 law firms. So there's nothing that is not factual. I'm stating facts of every single thing that has happened. And most of it, you probably know if you've been listening to this show for quite some time. because I do need to add some of that in. But what I've never shared before is the names of where I was, the names of the doctors, any of the legal information. And I'm doing this so that you know that you can do the same and you can never take no for an answer and a million other reasons, but like I'm going to get into it at the end. But the way that I've been able to like survive this trauma, I first want to share with you because I think that's really important when you go through something traumatic and you're trying to heal. You can't just be angry all the time. And I was, and I still am a little bit just because I've been looking at these records this morning, going like over and over again. And I'm like, I didn't deserve this, you know? I knew I was going to cry. Thank God this is a video. Everybody deserves the best, whether you've had like a shitty past or traumatic experiences. Like at the end of the day, you don't deserve that. You make changes in your life and you become a better person. And that is what I've done. So, oh my God. I just really want to state facts and not be emotional, but it's so hard. Especially because I've never ever shared any of this before. So, first of all, how I survived this crazy journey and healing now, which is twice as hard, is by meditating, by creating a morning experience for myself, whether it's like with my incense and my oils and journaling. Number one, I have a whole entire bin full of journals. And that is something that you need to do. You can't rely on friends and family. You need to rely to pen and paper and just journaling out whatever is in your brain to paper. It's the only thing that's going to make you feel better. Walking on the beach, going for a walk in nature, that's going to make you feel better. But meditating and doing breath work, like that's all great. Therapy, EMDR, like I've done it all. Any single thing that you can think of when it comes to healing, I've done it. I've tried it. I have certain everybody has their own, you know, two cents on how they want to heal and also what works best for them. I started doing sound baths a long time ago. Not really a long time ago, but I want to say about a year ago, I started seeing them pop up. And then you've known from previous episodes that the Copper Vessel, I've had her on the show. I think it was episode 230. So you can learn more about Susie there, but her sound baths are absolutely incredible. And you're healing through sound with these crystal bowls. And it's just an unbelievable experience that has really like up-leveled my healing process. And I do a lot of other things like grounding and just listening to music and just being in nature. And you just need to find whatever's going to work for you for the healing process. And it's kind of trial and error. Like I don't like doing meditations that are like 30 minutes long. I like to do 5 to 10 minutes of gratitude practices in the morning. That just works better for me. I'm more attentive. It's really hard for me to meditate for a really long time. Sitting on the beach, I can do it, but not like lying in bed when I'm first awake. Something else that I've shared a lot on the show is this YouTube channel called New Meditation. It's NU, not NEW. And they have healing music and deep sleep music, and there's no ads. And they're usually 8 to 11 hours long, so I listen to it when I'm sleeping. Although lately I've been falling asleep watching Hallmark, let's be honest. But normally. But then, like, my brain just needs to shut off, and I don't even want to watch Hallmark Christmas anymore. So I just put on my new meditation music and I sleep throughout the night, like hard. And at night, you need a routine as well. You need to, you know, have your candles and your incense. And if you do evening meditation and just kind of wind down, implementing these practices into my life has really changed me because it's helped me be more calm. And that's pretty much all I can say about that. And obviously with the healing aspect. So now I want to get into why I'm sharing this now and why I couldn't. And honestly, it's because of legal reasons. And if you follow me online, I've been posting a lot about this dental work I've been getting done. And all of it is because of the multiple prescription drugs I was on, the steroids and the chemotherapy. It destroyed my mouth. and I have to get it fixed. So it's a process. Every single tooth has to get redone again. So that's why I've been at the dentist. So I'll get into that in a little bit, but I want to just start off by saying that I'm not giving any medical or legal information. I'm sharing what it is to be like, what it is to, what it's like. Oh my God, I literally can't speak. What it's like to be a patient and how to represent yourself, how I represented myself in 6 different medical malpractice legal cases and the journey of like what that looked like. I mean, I could literally sit here for hours and hours and give you like the long version, but I'm not going to do that because I really just want to state facts to help people. And by sharing my story, I can help one other person that's going through a really hard time and know that they can get out of the shitty situation. I've done my job. And I know that's why I'm still alive. So I want to share with you that all of this started August 17th, 2016. I was going to have a surgery for fibroids, and it was my 3rd surgery. And fibroids can come back in 3 years, and literally 3 years to the month, ironically, I needed another surgery. So all of this happened in Las Vegas, and I went to my appointment. And I was told that I'm not comfortable operating on you because it sounds like you're about to have a stroke or you have MS. That was August 17th, 2016. Now, keep in mind these dates because it's so insane how this all happens. So I had my fibroid surgery and all that. And then this is how the whole journey of getting misdiagnosed began. So it was August 17th, 2016. So I first had to get cleared by a neurologist and I did all of that. And the things that I've done are like unheard of that I've done it in the quickest amount of time. There's no way you can get a neurologist to give you MRIs, to give you results, to get your labs, to get approved in a 6-day window for a pre-op. Well, I did it in, I think it was like 3.5 days. So if somebody ever tells you you can't do something, like, just prove them wrong. You know in your gut that you can do it. So just go and do it. So that's the first thing. So this podcast started and I mentioned this show to my best friend on my birthday in 2017. So the show's 3.5 years old. I've rebranded it a couple times. My entire story is on here. You can even hear the beginning intros have changed over the years because I've changed up my content. I've changed as a person. I'm a completely different person than I was when I launched this show. But if you listen to the very beginning episodes 3.5 years ago, I'm sharing why I have this show. And it was because I wanted to share business and LinkedIn tips and tricks and my life with an autoimmune disease. Is that normal? No, nothing I do is normal. I just wrote a book in a month. That's not normal either. Nothing I've ever done is normal. And that's just me. I like to create opportunities that don't exist and create things that I need, that other people need, and I just make it happen because I've just always been the happy workaholic. Like, I just love to work. I love creating solutions. I love just like figuring shit out. Like, that's just always been me. So when I found out that I had multiple sclerosis and neuromyelitis optica, which is NMO for short, it's a disease that can leave you blind and paralyzed. I had to close the doors on my business in Vegas. I was doing luxury travel and high-end events and producing concerts and just so much, like living life in Vegas, right? That had to quickly come to an end because I thought I was going to become blind and paralyzed. How am I going to do that running around the Las Vegas Strip? I'm not. So I had to pivot my business and bring it to the internet, just like everybody had to do when the pandemic started. So I'm an expert in that. I'm an expert in pivoting. I am an expert on a lot of things. One of them is organizing things. One is never giving up. One is pivoting. You can always take the good and the bad out of any situation and just make it better and up-level yourself at the same time, right? So that's what I did. I brought my business to the internet. And what I was thinking would be, how am I going to make money lying in bed? What if I do go blind? The only way to share what I know is with my voice, hence a podcast. And I was always listening to Gary Vaynerchuk's podcast, and he literally like motivated me to like get my shit together. I knew nothing about a podcast, nothing. I recorded over 100 episodes on my iPhone. Now I have a full production business and I live and breathe podcasting all day, all night. I've produced and created content for 21 different podcasters. It's insane. That all happened from this. Now, in the beginning, I would talk about what it was like to live with an autoimmune disease. I would do Facebook Lives. I would share a lot about business and LinkedIn because LinkedIn was my money maker, like my connection maker. Like I lived on LinkedIn and that's where I made like the best connections and brand deals in my career. And so I wanted to share that information with people. So that's how this podcast was born. And I've shared so much of my story, obviously 3.5 years of content. The whole purpose is to share my story so that I can help others because I never want anybody to feel like they're alone, especially in your business. Entrepreneurship is hard. I don't care what anybody ever will tell you. This shit is not easy. The pandemic has not been easy. People have had to close doors on things that they never would have expected ever. Like, I think a lot of people now have obviously changed their mindset and are thinking in a completely different way. And some still don't realize what the hell is going on in this world. Like, we all know those people, right? So, in December 2018, I decided that I was done doing chemo because the protocol for this disease was chemo twice a year. I did not know that till afterwards. And I had already done 8 treatments in a couple of months. I started doing chemo every week, then it was every month. And that had started in August of 2018. So in December, I was just over it. And so I knew I needed to come to San Diego. Oh my God, that day's totally wrong. Sorry. It was in the spring. I was supposed to get my next chemo in June and December. So I came in the spring of 2018 and I came here for one reason, and it was to get California residency, to get a specialist specifically for normalitis optica, NMO, at UCSD. It took me 6 months to get in, and I had over like hundreds and hundreds of pages faxed. I had them sent to me directly, so I walked into my appointment prepared with an entire file organized to the T's, like highlighted, paperclipped, post-it, organized, like shit you've never seen in your life. Like, I have documentation of all of this, by the way. And I went in prepared because I don't want to waste a doctor's time and I don't want them to waste my time. So I'm not going to go in and wait for another follow-up. We're getting shit taken care of today. It took me 6 months to get in there. They had everything that they needed. I was told multiple times and they did not when I showed up. So guess what? I had it all in my hand, except for physical CDs, which I'll tell you about in a minute. So long story short, I was overdoing chemo. I knew something had to change. I wasn't about to do chemo for the rest of my life. I knew in my gut something had to change. I needed a specialist. Like, just something was wrong. I just knew it. And so I finally get into the specialist. It was October. And he looks at my records and he looks at me and he does like the normal neurology protocol that he does for certain, just the normal protocol, what he would do for a new patient. And he's like, I don't think you have this. I saw him in August and I saw him in October. And both times he was like, I don't think you have this. But that was in August. And then in October, I had to go back because he needed to go over the physical CDs, which I drove to Las Vegas to get in my hand to bring them. There was 18 MRIs on physical discs. I hand delivered them to the specialist at UCSD. And he had a team of over 15 neuroradiologists look at perfect scans versus mine, and they were identical. My labs didn't make sense. There's a couple other reasons. And so on January 23rd, 2019, a few months later, I got it in writing that I was actually misdiagnosed. There's nothing wrong with me. Now, I've been asked on so many interviews, like, how are you now? What do you have? Like, what was the disease? Like, what was the mix-up? I'm like, I have nothing. There's nothing wrong with me. I have Hashimoto's disease, thyroid, I'm on thyroid medication. I have been since I was like 20. Other than that, I take vitamins, where before I was doing chemo and blood transfusions and I had surgery to get a metal port so that I can do all of these things. And then The 12 medications I was on were for nerve damage. They were for anxiety and depression and panic attacks and like heavy, heavy meds, heavy meds. I'm still withdrawing and still have side effects from them to this day, which is obviously my mouth being the number one and my head. Well, I think my head is number one and then my mouth would be number two of all the things that have happened because of these drugs. So when I found out that I was misdiagnosed, I thought that, I don't even know what I thought. I just thought that he was wrong. I'm like, how? Because I went to 5 neurologists in Las Vegas throughout this time of getting NMO and MS. I fought doctors because nothing was making sense. And the drugs I was put on, by the way, their side effects are the same symptoms of these diseases. So the drugs caused it. And so you don't know that because you're just reading labs. And if things are popping up positive and negative, you just go with that, right? Well, it's wrong. I mean, even now with, I'm not sure if you've seen this, but with Elon Musk, he had 4 COVID tests done with the same nurse, the same system, and 2 were negative and 2 were positive. Like, it's just insane. And that's like been a huge trigger for me lately, as well as my dental. But just moving on into my timeline, because I do want to state like all these facts and give you like every piece of information because it needs to be said. So on January 23rd, 2019, that's when I was in shock. And I'm like, he has to be wrong. How are you telling me like the last 3 years of my life are a lie? Like, how is that like possible? Like, I still have a problem putting it into a complete proper sentence because like, how did that just happen? Going through 5 neurologists, like how the fuck is that possible? So I took a couple weeks to like literally wrap my head around those words. You've been misdiagnosed. And that's when the legal process started. I knew that, the state of Nevada had a year statute of limitations, so I had a year to make a decision. I got to work in a month. I know, shocker. I have friends that are attorneys. They called in so many favors for me in multiple states. I've worked for a lot of high-profile families. They made calls for me in multiple states. At the end of the day, within about a month and a half, spoke to about like 150, 175 attorneys, and not one of them would take my case. And the reasons for that were said to me verbatim: 1, you're not dead. 2, you're not missing a limb. 3, you're not hooked up to a breathing machine, some kind of apparatus. And 4, you get capped. And by that, I mean, there's a certain amount of money an attorney can make in a case like this, and they don't want to pick up a job that's not going to make them a shit ton of money and work really hard for a small dollar amount. So in the state of Nevada, it's $300,000. California is $250,000. And I don't know what other states are. So nobody is going to work like a dog like I did. I ended up having to do it myself for a small dollar amount. Because I'm not dead. So the next step was to figure out the legal system. So I took legal classes and I figured it out. There was nothing on the internet, which I've mentioned in a lot of my legal episodes, that shows you how to represent yourself in a medical malpractice case. Personal injury, there is a ton of information, not representing yourself, but just facts on YouTube about personal injury. There's nothing about medical malpractice. Nothing. I literally had to figure out, based on my own investigations, like, how the fuck am I going to put this? How am I going to do this? And I figured it out. So I took information from different attorneys and just figured out a system and figured out the law and what I could legally do and what I could not do. So what I came up with was that in the state of Nevada, you have to go against all parties involved if you're representing yourself. So that was 6. A lot of people ask me, how come I did 6? Because there were 6 parties involved, which I'm going to share with you. And so I had to represent myself in 6 different cases because they were all part of this misdiagnosis journey. Okay, so that's 1. The second is to go after every single one of them with the State Board of Medical Examiners. I did that as well. So in the spring, I think it was like 71 pages, I faxed the State Board of Medical Examiners to open a full investigation on every party that was involved, the six of them. Most of the time they get denied, but in my case, every single one opened a full investigation on the doctors and the practice and the business. So that was a huge win for me. I couldn't fucking believe it. And then I had to deal with investigators from the State Board of Medical Examiners every week, every other week, it was months. But then at the same time, I had to go after the doctors. So I had to deal with six different insurance companies and their investigators, six different attorneys, their paralegals, the medical records companies, where I did all of the work for every single paralegal that worked for every single attorney I had to physically deal with. And I did all of that myself because I knew they were going to play a game of pushing me past my date. And they don't want me to, they don't want to write me a check. They're representing their client, which I would do the same, right? But I was trying to speed along the process and I needed them to take me seriously. So normally, a paralegal's job is to do all the investigations, to pull all the records, invoice numbers, dollar amounts, how it's uploaded through the portal, how to send, you know, snail mail and upload through all these medical portals, so on and so forth. There's so many other things that I could explain to you about that part, but it's not really relevant here. But let's just say I did the work for every single paralegal and they all hated me. And I was angry during this process, like so angry. Like I deserve justice. Like this is so fucked up, the situation. And at the same time, I'm like, I want to help other people. Like this is not okay. And they need to know for me that this is not okay. So I started creating videos on YouTube about how to represent yourself in medical malpractice cases, how to become a patient advocate, how to stick up for yourself, and all this shit. I started filming those when I was in the middle of this legal battle. And it was so awful. I mean, I already had anxiety, depression, panic attacks. There's not enough CBD in the world that would like cure me. That's when I started getting vertigo really bad. And I had to put a halt on it because I can't help you if I'm not like done with the process. And I was like in the middle of it. And I feel like I did that because I was just so fired up where I wanted to just help people now because it was like bullshit what I was going through. Like they put you through the ringer and I had to do it six different times. Like it's just awful. And so, you know, I always try to make everything, you know, turn it into like a positive spin. And that's why I created that series on YouTube. But it wasn't going to help anybody if I was screaming and crying. You know, I have episodes on the show where I'm screaming and crying. I'm so angry, but at least you know how real I am. And I'm like determined to help other people. And I have to get through my own shit first in order to do that. So I was doing all the work for these paralegals. And then I would CC the attorney and they would like, you know, if you've ever gone through anything legal or any kind of matter where somebody doesn't want to have you win or I'm like at a loss of words for what I want to say right now. But what I'm trying to say is that they're going to just wait as long as possible for you to get an answer. And I was like, oh, hell no. I'm going to get this record ID number. I'm going to have them uploaded to their portal. So I became friends with, in the United States of America, there are a couple places that house every single hospital record. And I became friends with people that worked at that company because I would call every hour on the fucking hour to get information. And they helped me. They helped me so much. And if it wasn't for them, I never would have gotten to where I was with my legal cases in the short amount of time. Medical malpractice cases usually take about 2 to 3 years to settle. Mine ended August 17th this year. So less than 2 years, which is like unheard of. And so I just started getting emails back from all of them on both sides. So I was getting emails from the State Board of Medical Examiners saying that they've opened an investigation. The way that that process works is that they contact the doctor and say, you know, we have an open case, we're doing an investigation on you. And then they ask them to write a report and they have to share their side of the story. So out of all six parties that I went after legally, there's really only one. Well, there's two. So the first four, I knew I wasn't going to get any money from, but I had to include them, and they are still wrong. And they were all wrong. They still are wrong. But those weren't the main concern, because those are the first people that I saw in the beginning. But again, representing yourself, you have to go after all parties. So that's what I did. So in the thick of it, I was dealing with like at least 20 people on a daily basis while trying to stay sane and run a business. It was, I honestly don't know how I did it. Like, and people ask me this all the time and I don't know. Like, even this morning I was writing it all down. I'm like, how the fuck did I do that? Like, I don't know. I just did it. When you go into like overdrive and you have this constant fear of like death, you just go until you can't go any longer. And that's what I did. So all of a sudden I started getting responses from the State Board of Medical Examiners saying that, you know, the doctors, they're going to take their sweet ass time to send a response because they don't want an investigation. And then it contacts their insurance company and then they could potentially lose their license. I knew that wasn't going to happen because I'm not dead. I was misdiagnosed. They're not losing their license over something like that, but they will do a full investigation. And a lot of the times they won't, but they did it in my case for every single party involved. So that was, like I said, a huge win for me. So once I'm looking at my timeline now. Sorry. This is like all over the place, like how I'm speaking and how I'm going over my timeline. So I want to stay on track for you. So from about February 2019 until August 17th, 2020, that was when I worked on my legal cases with all of these parties involved. Now, I had to follow up to make sure that everything was sent on time. And I went after the State Board first to get those investigations going, and that was in the spring. And then on my birthday, June 10th, 2019, I sent six demand letters with three exhibits each. So every party involved, the six of them, each got a little care package that was probably like 50, I think it was like 30 to 50 pages, I forget, of all of the information, my demand letter, and all of the exhibits, which is basically proof of what I'm talking about. I needed labs. I need like literally everything. And so I have this documented with videos and photos as well, like this whole entire journey. And I wanted to do it on my birthday because it was just really important to me to like make that statement to myself, like I can do this. And I always have done something on my birthday. Like I've launched my podcast on my birthday. I've done a million different launches on my birthday. Like it's just a really important day to me. And so I decided I was going to send all the demand letters out on 6/10. So that's what I did. Some got back to me as soon as they received the letter, I received emails. Some took a couple weeks, some took a month. And I'm like, what is going on? And so I would follow up. I'm representing myself. I need to take legal action. Like, did you get my care package? And the neurologist that I'll mention in a minute never received it. It was sitting in their mailroom. And that was like the number one doctor that I needed to deal with. And finally, when I got through to their management, she found the letter. I mean, over a month it was sitting in there. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I would call and call and call and I could never get through. And I'm like, they're avoiding me. And then I had already gotten responses in dealing with insurance companies from the other parties that were involved. And then here's the prime suspect and he's like taking his sweet ass time. But in reality, he never even had it, which is actually worse. So being the follow-up Nazi that I am, I finally figured that out. As soon as he read it and he opened it, he called me on my cell phone. This is illegal, by the way. And begged me not to come after him. He couldn't afford that number, which by the way, as a doctor, this is why you have insurance, because your insurance takes care of it, which is also why I dealt with his insurance company and his legal team the entire time. So don't, if you're going to ever do something like I just did, like don't think that that's a fact, because that's a complete lie. So he called me on my cell phone. And I remember I was looking at an apartment And I kept getting this private number. And then finally I answered because they kept calling. It was the third or fourth time and I picked up. And he said, "Is this Kelly?" And I said, "Yes." He's like, "This is Dr. Paul Janda." That is his name, Dr. Paul H. Janda. And he works at Las Vegas Neurology Center. He said, "I received your letter. I would like to talk to you about this. I do not have money to pay you. Please don't do this to me. I have children. I have a family. I can't do this. Please, can you come back to Las Vegas? I will continue to treat you. I'm sorry. I'm literally reading verbatim what I have right here because this is exactly what he said to me. And he said, "Let me follow up in 2 weeks." And I said, "Absolutely not. No, I'm dealing with your legal team. You can deal with them and then I could deal with them. Like, this is ridiculous." He's also an attorney. So let's not play games. You know the law. What you're doing is wrong and what you did to me was wrong. And I just need to make it right because I would like to move on and live my life. And I was so angry at that time. I was screaming and crying to him, at him, because at that point, I was in a lot of pain from getting my port removed. And I was going through EMDR therapy, which is for all of my PTSD. And I was like in the thick of therapy. And you would think like I was okay. But then immediately when you get triggered, like this doctor calls me on my cell phone. Like, what the fuck are you thinking? And I just go into like a downward spiral of just like depression and anger. I mean, I was ready to drive to Las Vegas and go to his office. And as I'm representing myself, I have to make smart legal choices, and that will not be one of them. And I needed to continue on my path and deal with his attorneys. But that's what happened as soon as he received my letter. So from my birthday until August 17th, so 6/10/19 until 8/17/20, I worked full-time as an attorney for myself, representing myself in these six cases. The amount of work I'm looking at on my bed right now, like, makes me want to vomit. Like, what I could have accomplished in my life during that time of doing all of that, like, is insane. But you know what? Everything happens for a reason. I'm alive, and it's to help those of you listening and somebody that you know, and let you know that you're going to survive your nightmare, your trauma, whatever it is that you're going through life, you're going to come out a winner. And I know that's hard to hear because I never wanted to hear any of that at the time. You know, I would listen to every single motivational anything I could get my hands on. And it's just not enough. Like, and what I was dealing with wasn't relatable to what somebody was like preaching to me. It just didn't make sense. I tried really hard. But your mind has to be in the right spot. And mine was not because I was so angry. And I was going through withdrawals. Like, I can't even explain to you. Like, migraines, being in bed for 4 to 5 days. I'd never had a migraine in my life. Anxiety, depression, panic attacks. Never had them in my life. And it's from withdrawing from meds. It's from the meds themselves. And that is disgusting. Like, I juice for a reason. I started eating vegan for a reason. I'm not 100% vegan, but I do eat a shit ton of fruits and vegetables for a reason because it really helps with the healing process. For me, that is what I've chosen to do. That is why I wrote a vegan cookbook, because that's part of my healing process. And fruit and vegetables are just the best things for you to eat, like, especially when it comes to healing. So I'll talk more on that later. But when I was dealing with the investigators and the legal teams, and throughout this whole process, getting closed cases from the State Board of Medical Examiners, what that means, I would literally get a letter in the mail, and I would keep following up with the investigator, and they can never email you, they can never tell you anything over the phone. Everything has to be in a legal letter certified mailed to you. So I would drive like 30 minutes to go pick up my mail when I knew it was there. And it was a closed case, which means everything that they just went through with this full investigation with this doctor, well, the six parties, they all closed the cases, which means they're not getting sent to. So the process, the way that this works is that they choose to open an investigation. In my cases, they did that. They do the full investigation. They get all the information that they need. They then pull all my medical records, each one for each case again. Like, it's so insane, this process. And then basically it's like they go to in front of a judge, which is the state board, same kind of process, and they hear them out. They have a hearing, and that's when they can lose their license. I knew that wasn't going to happen, but I needed to do this process as one part of the legal part of representing myself. This is just the process that you have to go through. And I needed them to take me seriously, and this was the only way. So the fact that they opened the cases, like, that was a huge win for me. But then they closed them, and you can't find any information out on that there. But that's okay, because I have a podcast, and now you're going to hear it all today. So, and I'm stating facts. I'm trying not to be, like, as emotional as I am, because I really just want to share, like, every single fact with you that I've never been able to share. So that's the way that the state board works. So it's a closed case. So if you Googled Dr. Paul H. Janda, you would never find information from the state board because it's a closed case. So those started coming in throughout the spring, throughout this journey of representing myself. And it was denial, 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 denial. And then I was getting denied from the first party and then the second party. And then the insurance companies would send me denial letters. They're not paying me out. So I kept losing cases. And I'm like, that's okay, because it's the only one, you know, I made peace with the State Board of Medical Examiners. I knew that wasn't going to happen, but the fact that I did it and they actually opened them was a win. The fact that I got through it alone was a win. And the fact that they took me more seriously was a win. Because if I'm sending demand letters to attorneys and insurance companies, they're not going to take me seriously if I'm not going after them with the State Board. So that's why that happened. So now I'm getting denial letters from 3, 4, 5 insurance companies not paying me out, not sending me a check for my loss, my pain and suffering, nothing. They've decided based on X criteria that I should have pulled one of those letters out so I could read it verbatim, but I didn't win the case. And so it was the first one, the second one, the third one, the fourth one, the fifth one. Now the most important one is taking their sweet ass time. Once again, that pushed me over the statute of limitations. They played a game, and it was the most horrific thing I've ever experienced in my life as far as trauma goes, because I had to relive this nightmare over and over and over again. So finally, you know, it was like January, February, you know, then the pandemic started and I just wasn't getting responses. I was getting completely ignored by Dr. Janda's legal team. And they played a game. They had everything that they needed. I can't even tell you how many voicemails I've left screaming and yelling. Like, you never want to hear that part of me. Because I was so angry and so frustrated, because it's just simple math, like what can be done and common sense. And they were just playing a game. So I had to make a decision how I wanted to proceed, because I got my final letter back from Dr. Paul H. Janda's legal team saying that I wasn't getting a penny and that I was wrong. And that was after them not even pulling all of my records. And legally, they need to have every single record in their office, and they're still missing 3. And I know this because I did all of the work for their paralegal team, and I reverse engineered the entire legal system so that I could make this happen and represent myself. I learned everything that you could possibly learn. I was going to take the bar. I was going to become an attorney. I had law firms asking me how I just accomplished things and if I wanted to work for their team. Like, this is the extent of the work that I put in, because I needed justice. I needed to get what I deserved. I needed to get my life back. And I thought that it was going to happen. But then it was like denial letter after denial letter after denial letter. So I had to make a decision if I wanted to go to trial. Because the sixth party responded, and it was a no. And I had to sit on that for like a really long time. And my option was to take it to trial. So I then had to contact the top trial attorneys in this country. And they said that they were interested. And then at the end of the day, they chose to not be interested. They changed their mind. So I had to really think, like, do I want to go to trial? Because this is going to be another year and a half, 2 years. And this was before the pandemic actually hit. Am I going to be able to do this? So I spent weeks, I mean weeks, on the phone with trial attorneys. I went back to Las Vegas to meet up with them. And then it fell through because they didn't want my case. They didn't want to put in the time, the money, the energy, their team to potentially not win this case because I'm still alive, because I have a presence on the internet, because I'm a fucking human. They didn't want the case. But yeah, but then they wanted to know how I just did that and how I had the contacts that I have, how I did it. So, how I figured this all out by myself in such a short amount of time. They wanted me on their team. They won't represent me, but they want me on their team. No, you cannot have me on your team. I'll open my own fucking law firm and you can come on my team. How about that? Like, it just didn't make any sense. And I was just so frustrated. And obviously, like, these are all triggers. Like, they would just, like, put me into, like, a spiral of, like, depression again. It was just not okay. And I would always just try to, like, look at the positive of every single aspect. Like, I get to open my eyeballs every morning and I'm alive. Like, I would just keep telling myself that. And as, like, hard as it was for me, like, I just knew, like, I'd be able to help somebody else by, like, whenever the day came to, like, share this, like, all of it, because no one knows any of this, and now I'm sharing it with you. So I just knew that one day, I guess I would be able to, but I physically couldn't see myself going to trial and reliving this, standing in front of a judge, hysterically crying. They said I would get ripped apart, like, by shreds, like, in front of a judge. Like, multiple attorneys have told me this, and I'm like, I'm not going to survive it. I know I'm strong enough, but, like, obviously I'm crying again now. Like, I'm too emotional. Like, I can't just stand there and take it. It's just too much because it's my life. It's my body. Like, I'm a human being. I'm not, like, just a robot. Like, it's not okay to do this to people, period. And so I realized that I had to go to trial by myself. So I had to figure that out. And that was in the spring. No, that was, in the spring. We were, like, in the middle of the pandemic. And so I had to do my research all over again. And what I learned was this law firm that represents Dr. Paul Janda played a game and they won. They pushed me over my date, which was January 23rd. And we were in the spring. And I had to get in front of the district, in front of the judge in Las Vegas for them to extend my statute of limitations so I could take it to trial. So that's what I worked on for like a month. And because of the pandemic, it was literally impossible to get a hold of a human. I had so many Vegas trips planned to get in front of the judge to go, but they did it via Zoom. So because like every other business, everything had a pivot and everything went to the internet. They weren't even seeing convicts in person. Like, it was all via Zoom. It was insane. So I had to figure out this new part of the business. Like, okay, well, now I need to take it to trial. I need to get in front of a judge. I need them to extend my statute of limitations so that I can then take these assholes to court. And I just was on a mission. Like, and I thought I was like in a state of mind where I could handle it. Like maybe this happened for a reason. Maybe it's going to be easier for me to get in front of this judge and get on a Zoom. Nope. It was the exact opposite. I couldn't get in front of a judge to extend my statute of limitations on a Zoom because I don't have a case number. And by having a case number, I had to then redo everything I just did. All of it. And then I had to pay 6 cases because everything is separate. I then had to pay 6 people to serve all of these doctors at their offices. And that is a pretty penny. And then I had to just sit on that. Like, is it worth me spending thousands serving them and taking their ass to trial to prove a point? I don't know. So I just had to sit on it. And then I, you know, was going through a downward spiral again of depression and anxiety and panic attacks and getting vertigo all the time. And, you know, I wake up every morning and I'm extremely grateful, but as soon as something would go wrong, my whole day was shot. I was canceling things left and right. I couldn't show up. I couldn't go on the internet. I couldn't film Instagram stories. I couldn't. That's pretty hard when you're trying to run a brand that's yourself on the internet. Like, I couldn't even talk to clients. I would reschedule calls. I was so depressed. Like, I wanted to deal with no one. I was so angry. I was so fired up. I would scream and yell at my friends, just like venting, because like, how are they getting away with this? I thought I had a good shot because the pandemic happened and that Zoom was an easy in to get in front of a judge to extend the statute of limitations. I had my whole case prepared, done, and I couldn't be seen in front of a judge unless I paid thousands of dollars to open cases in the district court against all parties. And that's it. Those are the facts. So I decided that I had one last thing I needed to do to close this chapter of my life, this journey, this one section of my life. Thank God it's just a section. And that was to write a letter to the final doctor and ask him to do what's right. So I'm going to read you that letter, but August 17th, I'm going to read you that letter, but I just want to look at my notes here because I'm actually not even looking at them while I've been talking to you. And I already went through 2.5 pages of notes. Okay. So first of all, I'm going to share the names of all the parties that were involved in my case. And because I represented myself and I'm done, I can. And I also want to share that a couple people have commented because I said that I settled. Settled doesn't mean money. So the first neurologist that I saw was Dr. Leo German, and he is a clinical neurology specialist. And he's the very first neurologist that cleared me for my surgery, but then told me that I had multiple sclerosis and possibly NMO. I then needed a definite answer because he was a little confused. So I then went to the second neurologist, and that's Dr. Edgar Evangelista, and he's at Nevada Neurology Care. And he said, I'm a very rare case. You actually have both. And I'm like, that's impossible. You cannot have both. And just side note, NMO used to be a variant of multiple sclerosis, and now it is not. They have very common symptoms and signs that you can have either one, but they're completely different. And if you take a drug for one, you can actually get a brain infection and drop dead. So that's the drug that I was prescribed. It was this MS drug. And when you have NMO, it literally infects your brain. Your brain will burst and you're dead. Something in my gut from the second neurologist, Dr. Evangelista, told me, you can't have that drug. By the way, it was already shipped to my house and I had a nurse scheduled to give it to me because it was shots. Excuse me. And something in my gut told me, no, you can't do that. And I said, what else do you have to suppress these symptoms? And, you know, I'm not mentioning any of the symptoms because there's just so many, but I'll just say nerve damage and like twitching and not being able to see. And those are like most common. So let's just say nerve damage. So he said the only thing that you can do to suppress these symptoms was IV steroids. So I did 5 days of IV steroids. On the fifth day, my blood pressure skyrocketed to like 263. And luckily where I was getting the treatment, it was across from an urgent care, like basically the same place. They put me in a wheelchair, and this was like, I had like 3 drips left of the IV steroids on the final day. And then they rushed me. They couldn't even figure out. They were like, you need neurology like immediately. So they rushed me in an ambulance to Valley Hospital Medical Center. That is where I was admitted for 9 days, where I met the 3 neurologists that oversaw my care at Valley Hospital Medical Center. And that team came from Las Vegas Neurology Center. And Dr. Paul H. Janda was the doctor that diagnosed me with neuromyelitis optica, April 2017, at Valley Hospital Medical Center. While I was there, when I first arrived, I was a different person. They gave me the wrong name tag, the name, you know, on my wrist, the name was a guy, and they kept scanning it because I was in the high trauma unit because they didn't know what the fuck was going on with me. And they couldn't scan my bracelet, my ID bracelet, to give me the drugs. And then the one nurse looked and she's like, oh my God, this isn't you. So that was the first mistake. The second mistake was, this is where patient advocacy comes in and why it's really, really important to make sure your medical records are correct. When I left that hospital after my beautiful 9-day stay, I had discharge paperwork, which I'm sure if you've been to the ER, you've been discharged, you get a freaking folder full of papers where half of it is like from Google. It's ridiculous. It said that I was leaving with multiple sclerosis. Once again, wrong. I waited an hour and a half till the surgeons came out to demand them to correct my paperwork because I wasn't leaving without it. And I specifically remember one of the nurses saying, and I hated this nurse, the nurses there that took care of me were amazing, but then this one like young girl showed up and she was like, well, and she just had an attitude. Like, if you're going to be taking care of people in an environment like that, you need to have some bedside manner. She had zero. And I understand that we all have shitty days, but when I'm asking you to correct paperwork, to have admin correct my paperwork because that discharge paperwork is wrong, like, there's a reason for that. Because if I ended up in a car accident or something and I ended up back at that ER, do you know what they're going to do? They're going to give me the drug for MS, and then I'm going to have a brain infection, and then I'm really going to fucking die. And that's going to be your problem and not mine. And those are facts. Those are definitely 100% facts. I waited an hour and a half for that paperwork and I got it. And now I also have 3 copies, and I have 2 of the correct and 1 of the 2 of the wrong and 1 of the correct. And it's dated. And so her response was, well, do you usually walk around with your discharge paperwork? And I'm like, actually, yes, I do. Yes, I do. And it's also in your computer system. So if I'm rushed back here, are you going to be the nurse on call that's going to give me the drug and you're going to kill a patient? How are you going to live your life with that fact? Like, it was just an awful situation. But that was just one of the little stories I, for some reason, needed to share with you. So when I got the diagnosis of having neuromyelitis optica, April 2017, for sure, that's what I had, based on all of the labs and blood work and MRIs and all of that, which, by the way, to date, I've probably had like 30 MRIs. I've had blood transfusions, days of them, months of chemo overdose, all the prescription meds, surgeries for ports, surgeries for PICC lines, all this bullshit, which I never even needed. And so where I went from there was Las Vegas Cancer Center, and that's where I received all of my chemo, which, again, normal protocol is 2 times a year. I had 8 in a matter of 6 months, so the least that they could do is pay me their commission that they made off me for that drug, because it's $40,000 per session. So those are all of the parties involved, the last one being Steinberg Diagnostic Medical Imaging, and that is where I got all of my MRIs, my spinal taps, and all of that. The reports were wrong. And this is where everybody is asking me, how did I know? So based on science and facts, when you're looking at an MRI, you see things. It's art. You're seeing it in front of your face. When you read a report, reports can be wrong. My reports were wrong. Dr. Janda read the reports instead of putting his own 2 eyeballs onto my scans where he would have seen that is wrong. He did my labs wrong. This is science. This is facts. There's a lot of other pieces that I can add to this, but those are just the 2 major ones. So those are the 6 parties that are involved. I think it's really important to share those names, because when you're doing research, you need to figure out like what's best for you. So again, I'm just sharing facts. I'm just sharing my story. So let me flip back to my notebook here. So I just shared with you all of that. And now I also want to share that when I was got the official letter that I was officially misdiagnosed, I had seen 5 neurologists in Vegas. And now I have a specialist telling me they're all wrong. I was in shock. So I then reached out to somebody at UCLA, at Johns Hopkins. My specialist reached out to somebody else in Utah. And then I, at the end of the day, had the top diagnosing expert of rare diseases call me on my cell phone while I was at a doctor appointment. It was insane. How I got his number and his contact information probably took me 2 months, but I got it and I never quit. I needed this man to look at my stuff and tell me yes or no. I also needed to know what it would cost for him to fly in to be in trial with me. And that right there took so much time, energy, and effort because I had to prepare for the worst. And so it would cost me about $250,000 to get everybody in that I needed in court. And obviously, I'm not somebody that just has $250,000 sitting around. So, again, another reason why the trial didn't work out. So, I've shared with you so far who the parties were involved, how I did the legal case, all of the drama that I went through, the drama and the trauma, and patient advocacy. So, I want to touch on that again because it's really important, and this episode isn't about like hating doctors. It's about stating facts of my own personal story. And we can have this, you and I can have the same doctor. He can help you save your life, and then he can help me by misdiagnosing me. Every case is different, and I completely understand that because some of my doctors I know have saved lives. I saved my own life. Thank God. But it's not like a hate on doctors episode. This is not what I want you to take from this because I'm literally just sharing my own personal story. And I do want you to know, like, I don't hate the medical system. I actually know a lot about it now because, and the legal system as well, going through, my legal cases. And if you are somebody that's angry at a doctor because your medical records are wrong, well, I hate to break it to you, but like that's your problem. You need to make sure that you're organized because I can't tell you how many other times that I've gone to doctors. Their job is to save your life and to get you the correct diagnosis. It's not looking at clerical work. Can they catch it? Yes. Are they looking at stuff like that most of the time? I would say 99%. No. They're looking at labs. They're looking at MRIs. They're not looking at information like typos. They might catch it. I mean, I hope they do. But it is your job as a patient to make sure that your name, your address, your emergency contacts are correct. I can't even tell you how many numbers were wrong. So if something happens, no one's getting called. Like that is your job as a patient to stick up for yourself, to be organized, to have all your medical records organized and in place, have systems in place, have your will done. I had to update my will like 3 times during the pandemic because all this shit just like triggered me and I thought I was going to die again and all this stuff. But in the very beginning, I made sure I had my will in place. I showed my friend where everything was, like as far as my business and personal stuff and like what to do with it, what she could sell. Like I went through all of that. I mean, that right there is traumatic. I have friends that have had to do their wills and it's just such a stressful time because nobody wants to prepare. Nobody, I mean, you want to prepare, but like you just don't want to think about like, what if this actually happens? It's traumatic. But at the end of the day, it's your job. You need to have systems in place. God forbid something happens. Where are your children going to go? Where are your everything else you own? Where is it going to go? You need to have that prepared. And I think that now during the pandemic, people really realize like, get your shit together. Like it's your job. And obviously I'm like really passionate about that because I've just seen so many cases and so many people, like hundreds and hundreds of patients have reached out to me asking me how I organize my records, which is why I started doing that medical series. It's just like anything else that you do, whether it's like clipping coupons or organizing recipes or, you know, running a business or being employed. Like you have a system in place. You need to do the same exact thing when it comes to your healthcare and your families. And if you're involved in your friends, if you're a caretaker, you have to be organized. And that is something that I'm just like really passionate about. And I just want you to know that it's your job. It's not especially now, I feel like people are, appointments are all over the place. Things are getting confirmed and canceled and everything. And you have to make sure that you're on top of it. I mean, just with all my dental work, like I'm going to the most incredible place and they're on their A game. And I'm like, holy shit, is this real life? Like, how is this real? Like, everybody knows my name. I haven't had a problem with my records. Like, everything is just done. It's just really strange feeling, but you need to just create a really easy system. And I just want you to know that I am creating one for you, which hopefully will be out soon, because obviously this happened for a reason and I'm still here. And one of them is to share my story to help people. But the other one is to create something that people need that's lacking in the medical and legal aspect of healthcare. So I'm creating that product. Hopefully it will be here soon and I'll keep you up to date on that, because I've had to like pivot that and rethink things on it, and I couldn't work on it during my legal cases and all that stuff. So I am putting something together for the patient, for the medical side, for the legal side, that's going to keep everybody on track and on the same page, because there's nothing like that that exists, sadly, very sadly. So that's a little bit on patient advocacy and why I pride myself on being so organized with records and like really sticking up for yourself. If you didn't like the diagnosis and the response that you get from a doctor, you get more. I had 5 in Las Vegas. I had an additional 5 after the fact. So it's up to you how long you want to fight. But if you want to fight for what's right and what you deserve and what you know in your gut feels right, and you just need to keep going. And I know it's going to be the hardest thing that you've ever gone through, because it's the hardest thing I've ever gone through. But at the end of the day, it's happening for a reason. And I hate saying that, but I guess my reason is to just keep sharing what I know so that I can help other people, because no one has ever done what I just did. No one. I've had media companies reach out to me. I've had legal teams offer me jobs. I've had doctors ask me, like, it's insane. And I'm not about to tell them how I did it because we'll be here months and they should be figuring it out themselves. Will I consult with them? Yes, but I don't know. I'll do a whole nother episode on that one day. But the reason why I am sharing this again is because, one, I want you to know that you're never alone, because now you have me. And I know that it's going to be the darkest time of your life and the most stressful and the most demanding. And I don't even know what else to call it except torture, but you're going to get through it. And I want doctors to know, like, this is not okay. You can't just sweep things under the rug. I do understand both aspects, both sides, and all the legalities of it. For example, this episode might have to come down, but at least it's up now and you're listening and you could share it with a friend and I can repurpose it in a whole nother way. And I'm doing this for a reason. Another reason is that I really wanted something after August to be happy again in my life. I wanted to be happy. I wanted to create a happy experience. I'd been working on my book for like 4 years. And I've said so many times, like, nobody wants to read like a dramatic story that like filled with trauma. Like, I wanted to write something that was positive and to help people. And I just scratched that idea. I stopped writing that book. I invested in a masterclass and I learned how to write my book. And then I taught myself the rest. I wrote Everything is Messy in a month. And I launched the ebook the month after and the paperback the month after. That was a 3-month time span. Normal people don't do that. Again, I need a new show, but I think there is one called like I'm Not Normal or something like that, because nothing I've ever done or created or how I live is normal. So when I wrote this book, I wanted it to be happy. I wanted it to be healing and just like had nothing to do about this story. And so I started writing my vegan cookbook, and it was called The Chemical Free Cookbook. So if you go to thechemicalfreecookbook.com, it actually directs you to Everything is Messy. Excuse me. So I started writing that. But what happened was I would go to the beach every day, and it would remind me of the times that I made these recipes. When I created my veggie burgers, when I made the pudding, when I did the overnight oats, and it was all parts of my life when I was sick. And how I was healing. Like the day that I would come home from a spinal tap and I would pass out when I came home because I was so ill from it. and then make myself like a detox soup because I had all these chemicals pumped in me. Like, it would just remind me of these days. And so I just started writing like these chapters, and I'm like, how is this, like, all this information pouring out of me? So it did, and it did fast. So there's 10 chapters of personal development that I wrote in 6 days for 5 hours. Or was it 5 days, 6 hours? I forget. It was less than 7 days. And then the next couple of weeks, I actually worked on the actual vegan cookbook aspect of it. So it's something that you're not going to ever see anywhere else because it's my story. And it's something that has never really, once again, been done because I wanted to sprinkle in all of these delicious vegan recipes, which, by the way, are meat, dairy, gluten, and sugar free, but then also turn it into a personal development book because none of this happened to me for a reason that, you know, this is happening to me for a reason. It's to help other people like get to the place where they need to be in their life. Like, there's no way in hell I could have experienced what I'd gone through and like just stopped it and ended it at that. So that's how that book was born. So I was just sitting writing on the beach and I cried every single day. It was the most healing experience of my life. And I was not expecting that. However, going through this dental stuff again over the last couple of weeks, I'm like, something is not right. Like, this is wrong. Like, and I would get triggered. Like, the amount of pain I've been in and the amount of like PTSD I've experienced, for example, I spent 5 hours in the dental chair this past week, two and a half hour appointments. The first day from the anesthesia, my face was like frozen almost up to my eye, like right underneath my eyelid. And it felt like my nose was broken. And it was 6 hours afterwards where it finally started to like go away. And I thought that I had Bell's palsy again. I thought that my face was frozen. I thought I had nerve damage. I woke up in the middle of the night and I couldn't like see. I thought I really did have NMO and all these things. And I was just like crying hysterically. And I had a friend sleep over that night. And I just like woke up hysterically crying because my face was so swollen. And it looked like it did when I was doing chemo and steroids. And I immediately looked in the mirror and I see that like sick person. But that's not me anymore. And the reason why, again, why I'm doing all this dental work is because I had to get 2 implants and all of my teeth redone. And the metal out again. Well, the metal came out last year, and then I had to get it redone because my teeth are so sensitive. So every single tooth had to get redone this week. And could I have spaced it out with more appointments? Absolutely. But I would like to just bang it out and move on with my life. So I had a dental surgery for my implants about like a month and a half ago. And so I got that done. And that's a 3 to 4 month process where you wait to get the actual tooth and crown and all of that. So in the meantime, while I'm healing, I had to heal first, like about a month, and then go back in and fix every other single tooth in my mouth. And it's just torture because it reminds me of being sick again. I get angry and like all this stuff. So that's really, you know, something I've been sitting on, and it like really triggered me, and it made me realize like now is the time I need to record this episode because it's just not right what happened to me. And like, why am I paying for a luxury vehicle payment every month, which is my dental payment, for something that's not even my fault? So every month I make this payment, every 2 weeks I make another payment, and it's just not fair. Like, why am I stuck with this bill for something that's not even my fault? I'm like, it's like torture every single time I pay, because I could be investing that money in something else and actually be driving a luxury vehicle instead of like paying for one for dental work that all this stuff isn't my fault. And so that's what kind of made me really want to record this episode now. I felt like emotionally stable as I possibly could when it came time to recording this, to be recording this for you, because, you know, I know that I have a lot of episodes that I'm super angry and I'm screaming, and I'm just, again, like sharing my story and stating the facts. And like, my story is just another story. Like, we all have a story, and I know that I have to share this because it just has to be done. And so legally, I could not earlier because I was in the middle of all these cases, and now I'm not. So now I want to share with you what happened and why I chose to not go to trial. So in July, I decided that after finding out it was going to cost me, again, $250,000 to go to trial, I would have to open a court case And that actually wasn't even possible because I had to get the statute of limitations extended. So it's like, I couldn't do, you normally when you have to get things accomplished, you do one thing to get to the next point, right? I couldn't do that because everything was backwards. I couldn't open a case because my statute of limitations had expired. I needed to be seen by a judge to get it extended, to open a case, to go to trial. Like, nothing made sense and nobody would take it. It's just, it's ridiculous, the legal system when it comes to things like that. But again, it's like so messed up because of the pandemic. If we weren't in a pandemic, I would have shown up at district court and been seen by a judge, but I didn't have that option because everything had to go through portals and documentation I couldn't provide because I needed to be seen first in order to open a case. So like, there was no winning for me. So the only thing left I had was to just get closure and to move on and just be grateful that I'm alive. So the only other thing I had left to do was to write Dr. Janda a letter and just hopefully get closure and hope that he does what's right. So I don't know if I should read that. I'm going to read this to you. So I wrote him this letter and I gave him a date. And after that date, I was going to go to trial because I was still like sitting on like, can I do this? I know I could get it done somehow, but like, do I want to live my life in the middle of a trial? No, I don't. So I made that decision. So this is the letter that I wrote. I don't have this one dated because this is a copy, but I gave him about a month to respond. So I sent it in around July. So I wrote, "Dear Dr. Paul Janda, this letter serves as notice that without a response by August 17th, 2020, I will be filing suit in Las Vegas District Court against you. As a result of your misdiagnosis, I have suffered emotional, physical, and mental pain. Since the day you diagnosed me with neuromyelitis optica in 2017, I have gone through significant pain and suffering. This is your opportunity to make a small step at righting some of your past wrongs. On January 23rd, 2019, I was made aware that your diagnosis was completely incorrect. This was based on multiple tests, scans, and many more medical experts coming in to confirm. I've previously provided all of these medical records to your attorney. Not only did you misdiagnose me, but because of that misdiagnosis, you overdosed me with chemotherapy. The normal protocol for this disease is to receive 2 treatments over the course of 12 months, but instead you had me receive 8 chemotherapy treatments in just a few months and countless prescription medications. This overdose resulted in significant and severe side effects and withdrawal processes. As a result of my communication with your attorneys and the Nevada State Board of Medical Examiners, you are aware of the facts. Can I take this matter to the Las Vegas District Court? Absolutely. Would I prefer to settle out of court to simply pay for my pain and suffering and medical costs now and in the future should they arrive? That answer is yes. I recognize that every human body works in a different way, and I'm extremely lucky that mine chose to hold on and fight. To this day, I continue fighting, and I'm not about to stop. From the moment I wake up until the time I go to bed, I'm fighting to heal, as this has been the longest trauma I've ever endured. Again, I am simply writing to you to ask you to make this right. That can be done by compensating me for my pain and suffering. I would also like to extend this already, as it I would also like to end this already as it has been another year of enduring this trauma and reliving this nightmare while dealing with the legal aspect of it. Please show me the same consideration and compassion that you would hope a family member would be given. I have made the decision to file my case with the Las Vegas District Court on Monday, August 17th, 2020, if I do not hear from you then. I wish you the best and hope that we can settle this matter out of court." So that's what I wrote on. And I never got a response. So August 17th, 2020, which I didn't even realize was the date, 4 years to the date that this all started. And I didn't even know until like waiting for him to respond. And I was waiting for his legal team to respond. And I would call my mailbox place like every day, like asking like, did I get mail from Vegas? They were always looking out for like medical or legal, anything Las Vegas that was coming, they would immediately call me. They have a little post-it in my mailbox, which is so nice because I would have to drive all the way down there. It's like 20, 30 minutes to go pick up my mail. And so I made a decision. You know, I wrote that because my plan at the time was to take it to trial. So while I was waiting for him, I was trying to finalize like how we can make this happen. And it was just a backwards legal system and I couldn't make it happen. And do I want to live my life like trying to go through, like going through this again? So I decided to be done. He didn't know that, but I knew like leading up to not getting a response, I just needed to move on and maybe he would do what was right. And he didn't do that. And so I think it's really important to share like every single aspect of this legal story, because a lot of people assumed that when I settled and I'm legally allowed to like talk about things, because as I represented myself as my own attorney, I can do whatever the hell I want. It's time to like share all parts of it. And a couple people just assumed, actually there's been like five or six that assumed the word settled means money. I have not received one penny. Not one penny. I settled with the fact that I'm alive and I can move on. I can now legally share this, every single aspect of my legal case. If you want to know more, I'm an open book. Like I literally just mentioned every doctor, everything that just went like part of my story. Because I think it's really important. And again, I'm not doing it to badmouth doctors, because this same doctor could have saved your life or somebody else's life. But what they did to me was wrong. So because of that fact, they need to correct it. And they chose not to. So now it's my job to bring that to everybody else's awareness that I have not received a penny. I have not received a response. And this legal system and medical system is so messed up right now that it is your job as a patient to make sure that, you know, you're organized and something like this like can't go the wrong way and that you survive your own trauma just like I did mine. So it's just so crazy. So I just wanted to share that with you because it like really bothered me that like people think I'm like rolling a dough in the middle of a pandemic when it was like literally the worst time of my life that I had to like relive everything. So now I just want to share with you more on my book because it's really important. Like chapter 7, you deserve the best. Like you really do. And I have to like literally reread my book because it doesn't even like seem like I wrote it, because I'm like a different person, like a healed person, because I'm putting in the work and I'm doing all of these things to like make me heal. You know, like it's definitely a process. Like we're all going through traumatic shit right now. And the only way for you to feel better is if you like put in the work. So that's what I'm doing. And I do it every single day, every afternoon, every night. And I just want you to know that, like, that's why I wrote the book that I have now. Because it just, like, came pouring out of me. And I'm like, I literally put in the work. I deserve the best. And I titled my chapters exactly that. Because it's, like, really short read. It's 2 hours. And I just wanted you to, I'm, like, literally turning the page. I wanted you to know, with a short read, it's about 2 hours, that like you can get everything that you deserve. Like you can up level your life or change your life, but like it's not going to happen magically. It's not going to, you know, you can manifest and visualize anything you want, but you still have to put in the work. It's not going to just show up. You know, I read my horoscope every day thinking magical things are going to happen, but that's not reality. But like my chapters are titled Get Organized, Put in the Work, Enjoy the Little Things, Embrace the Change, Take Control, The Possibilities Are Endless, You Deserve the Best, Fuck the Fear, that one's my favorite, Create and Execute a Plan, and Accept Who You Are. That literally just describes like everything I just shared with you and how I got to where I am right now. And then sprinkled throughout is my vegan cookbook. And it's a really short read. It's, like I said, about like 2 hours. And it's meant to be small. It's meant for you to write all over it. It's meant for you to like take notes and add your favorite ingredients to the recipes that I shared with you. And it's literally just a conclusion of this chapter of my life that I'm so glad I'm done with. But will now be able to help others. I could not, if somebody asked me like 4 years ago, like, where do you see yourself in 4 years? Like, it would not have been, getting diagnosed with diseases that were going to kill me and then taking drugs that were going to kill me and then going through a legal battle that was going to kill me. And somehow I survived all of it and wrote a book to help you. That would never be my answer. But I did. So I just thought it was really important to share this episode just because I can now. I thought it was important to share the names so that when you're doing research, like, you're made aware of these things, because like I said, with the State Board of Medical Examiners, nothing is researchable because they're closed cases. And my case is open because it's mine and I didn't sign anything away. And I decided to walk away to keep my sanity and to move on with my life than to destroy it and take it to trial where I may not win. So what is the, you know, I'm winning now because I can share my story, continue to share it to help more people. And that's why it's really important to also say, like, you know, when you work so hard, like a dog for so long and you get nothing in return, you can't really think like that because that's how I was thinking for so long. Like, I need to be grateful. You know, it's Thanksgiving. Like, I just lost like so much of my life during this time that I know I just like need to be grateful for like all of it happening so that I can just like move on and help more people. And that's what I do with my business. That's what I do in my personal life. And that's exactly what I did with this book. So if you're looking to uplevel your life and just change where you are right now, these chapters are really going to help you because it's literally from my personal experience and everything I've just shared with you today. And I know this is so long and I didn't think it was going to be this long, but you need to know the facts because I don't need people thinking like I'm living my best life right now monetarily. Like, I'm living my best life right now because I'm fucking alive, because I fought like hell to like stay here, you know? But I also need you to know that Dr. Janda never did what was right, and that, you know, lucky for him, he can live with himself, I guess. But at the end of the day, the only thing I'm asking for is, like, if you know anybody that's going through this, is to maybe share this episode with them or share my book with them, because it's really going to help them get through a really, really dark time. And you know, I just felt that it was really important to mention the names and mention and read this letter. And I needed the facts out because, like, you can go through the darkest time in your life and still come out a winner. Like, I have, even though, you know, I'm asking for money because I need future bills paid. I need, like, my dental is $10,000. Why should that have to come out of my pocket? I'm in therapy. Why should that have to come out of my pocket? None of this is my fault, but now I'm stuck with a bill. So at the end of the day, the only thing that I was asking Dr. Janda is to do what's right, is to cut me a freaking check to pay for my bills. Like, literally not coming out of your personal bank account. Your wife's not going to have an issue with it. It comes from your insurance company that you pay for every month. And that's not, I mean, maybe if he hears this, so feel free to share it. But like, that's the end of my story. I decided to walk away and be done. And I needed you to know the facts about the letter. I needed you to know the facts about the legal process, the medical system, and every single thing that I've endured and I've fought my way through over the last literally 4 years to the date, because it's not anywhere else. And it's really important that I share that. And so thank you so much for listening if you're still here, because it's so long. This is like my longest episode in a really long time. But also, what I did on August 17th, 2020, it was a full moon, and I closed that chapter of my life by going to my first in-person sound bath. So I drove to LA about 2 hours, and I did one with a copper vessel with Susie, who I had on my show. And that episode I mentioned earlier, it's episode 230. So wait, was it 230, 232? No, episode 230. So listen to it. She's absolutely incredible. What she does, sound healing, and she has her own journey. But on August 17th, and I called the doctor before I went to LA, and that's when I learned it was August 17th, 2016, when this all started. And that was the date I put on Dr. Janda's letter to respond to me by. So exactly to the date, 4 years. that is crazy. So I experienced my first in-person sound bath. I drove to LA and back 2 hours each way. It was incredible. I could go into more detail, like what I experienced in that if you want, or maybe do like a video on Instagram or something like that. Just let me know, or just send me a message anywhere online and I'll let you know like the difference between sound baths on the internet and sound baths in real life, because they're very different. And that was my final day to close this chapter of my life. So that's it. That's all the last 4 years that I've endured. This is like a really long episode, but that's honestly the short version. And I wanted to just take a ton of notes so that I was prepared to give you all the facts. I mean, I tried my best not to be emotional, but this is my life we're talking about, and I'm like still healing and trying to heal. So I do cry like all the time, but we all know that. And then share with you like where I went for procedures, where I went for chemo, what doctor diagnosed me, and how he decided to move on with his life and not make things right. So that was really important for me to share. If he listens to this episode, I'm pretty sure I'll be getting an email from his legal team. But also, there's a thing called the internet, and there's a thing called the share button. So if you liked this episode, if you feel that by sharing it, this specific doctor may see it and maybe do what's right, that would be amazing if you thought that. But honestly, I've moved on. It's officially done. I didn't receive a penny. What I did receive was a whole new life and a whole new mindset and a whole new set of eyeballs to take on this world and help other people. So if you are looking to really get out of a dark place like I was, you need to read my book. If you can't afford it, you just send me a message and I'll send you the ebook, because it's $20 and the ebook is $14.99. It's available to 40,000 retailers, and I don't want this to be like selling my book, but like I'm just again stating facts. Like if you want to change your life, you need to read my book. If you don't want to change your life and you just want really delicious recipes, you buy it for that reason as well. And then also what's different about this book is that you can become a part of the community in a Facebook group. So all the recipes are in the book, but the videos, I filmed over 100 videos of all the recipes, are in the community. And then I'm also doing Facebook Lives Monday and Friday. So for example, well, Friday I did healthy desserts, different healthy dessert options people were asking me for on Monday. Then I respond on Friday. So I did that. This Monday, which is before Thanksgiving, I'm going to be sharing fun ideas with all of your Thanksgiving leftovers, different recipes you can create with that, healthy, of course. So there's a whole community surrounding the book as well, because I want you to know that you're not alone. And I want you to like just be part of a fun, positive, and uplifting community. So if you are ready to do that, you can go to everythingismessy.com. You can buy the book directly through me or your favorite retailer. So I have them actually all listed there. They're in the US, Canada, UK, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand. And so you can see which retailer that you prefer and order through them. Or you can order through me directly to get a signed copy. Totally up to you. And then just in short, Everything is Messy is a book about resilience, reality, and personal development. And then it has, obviously, the recipes to help you live a happy, healthy, positive, and productive life. Stories, solutions, mindset, and meals. So I have this mantra, happy, healthy, positive, and productive. I started when I started doing chemo. And then I also had this prayer card that said, don't quit, that I would keep on me all the time. And that poem is in the book at the very end, because I want you to know that you can't quit. Can't quit. If I quit, I would not be here to share this story with you today, to give you the facts on the medical and legal system that people need to be more aware of, especially in their own patient advocacy journey or something that they're taking care of. And this book is just the best thing I could have ever done for myself first, to realize like what I deserve now and how I can help more people. So again, if you are interested in grabbing yourself a copy, you can just go to everythingismessy.com and see where it's available. But you can also just go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart. I'm praying it will be on Target before the holidays. Check it out. And if you want to hear a little bit more on each episode, I mean, this was for chapter 7 because you do deserve the best, but for the remainder of the year, each week will be more information on each chapter. And then also, if you want a sneak peek, you can go to my Medium blog. The link will be in the show notes, and you can see how the chapters actually lay out and look. There's more information there. So if you don't want to wait for chapter 8, 9, and 10, you can actually get the scoop over on my Medium blog. So I'm all about sharing content. I'm all about helping you. If you need help in any aspect of your life, I'm telling you, you need this book. It's really going to get you to where you deserve to be at, which is what I wanted today's show to be at, with obviously all the information on my legal case that I've never been able, well, now I can legally talk about. And I sat on this for, I'm not kidding, 6 months. I've been wanting to do this and I just like couldn't yet. And the timing just made sense, like with all these dental appointments like triggering me. I went through like my whole entire legal folders and just like pulled all the dates out for you because I wanted you to see, well, not see, but like hear the actual timeline of how everything happened, because this has been 4 years. That's a long time. So thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate your time. This is an extremely long episode. And I mean, I knew it would be a little bit longer, but I just needed you to know everything about my case because so many people ask me. So now you can get every single fact here. And that's it. So I hope that I'm definitely not going to edit this because I can't hear it back, but I'm going to upload it and just share it with anybody that you think needs to hear this, and that's it. And that's all I can ask. And the only other thing I just want to remind you is that you do deserve the best, and you do deserve to be organized in all aspects of life. You just like, you need to do that for yourself so that you can do it for everybody else around you. When it comes to a medical situation, just be on your A game and just let me know if you guys ever need help with anything else. I'm always here. And I'm wishing you a wonderful Thanksgiving week. And I will be back next week for chapter 8, my favorite, Fuck the Fear. So stay tuned. Your time is so valuable, and I really appreciate you carving out a little piece of your day to listen to today's episode. If you liked this one, please share it with someone who you feel needs to hear this message. And don't forget to tag me at The Happy Workaholic on Facebook and Instagram so I can feature you on my stories. Listening on Apple Podcasts, I would love it if you would leave me a review on today's show. Your input means so much and also helps me create more of the content you'll love. Want to continue today's conversation? You can join us in the Happy Workaholic Network Facebook group. Simply answer the questions and you're in. For more information on myself and to get the latest in business, LinkedIn, organizing, and podcasting news, sign up to receive my weekly newsletter at thehappyworkaholic.com. I hope that your day continues to be happy, healthy, positive, and productive, and I'll talk to you again soon.